This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass.
The best of both worlds.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land. For this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be joined by Josh to talk about being bi plus at a Pride March. And then I'm going to be going LARPing, kind of, with local live-action role player Harem. We'll also be finding out more about BiCon Lily Singh's explosive late-night monologue, exploring how straight cis women are looking for bi plus men, and bring you the latest news, conversations and updates, and many, many bad puns, all from the biosphere. All that and more coming up on the show that's here to put the B in LGBTIQA+. It's Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And now, because we haven't played it in a little while, it's Getting By from the soundtrack of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Song's a bit binary. I still love it. Enjoy.
I don't know how, I don't know why, but I like ladies and I like guys. I realize it's a surprise, but now I see that that's just me. It's not like I even try. So if you ask me how I'm doing, getting by, oh yeah, I'm letting my bi flag fly. Not gonna hide it, not gonna lie, I'm a bi kind of guy. There's no reason to be shy. My oh my, it's a fact I can't deny. I'm bi, bi, bi until the day I die. Now some may say, are you just gay? Why don't you just go gay all the way? But that's not it, 'cause bi's legit. Whether you're a he or a she, we might be a perfect fit. And one more thing, I tell you what, being bi does not imply that you're a player or a slut. Sure, I like sex.
Please make him stop.
But I'm no hoe, I take things slow until I feel at ease. So if you ask me how I'm doing, I'm feeling peppy, sprightly, spry. Because I'm definitely bi. Big Bang! I'm getting bi. It doesn't take an intellectual to get that I'm bisexual.
This is Triple Bypass, your weekly bisexual plus radio takeover. I'm Ruby and I'm here to bring you a weekly fix of bi plus community goodness. That plus is for pansexual, polysexual, queer, questioning, heteroflexible, aromantic, bisexual, biromantic and asexual. Whatever you want, whatever works. We're just happy to have you here. Tonight we're talking about LARPing, we're talking about pride marches, we're talking about roleplay, but more with swords than floggers this time. And as always, we want to hear from you. Have you marched at a pride parade? How did you find it? And have you wanted to and not been able to? And also, do you even LARP? Get in touch. Email us at onair@joy.org.au or text on 0427569949. You can also find us on our socials, Facebook, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, and email us at any time at triplebypass@joy.org.au. And now it's time for the latest in Bi Plus community news. Beep, 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 beep. NBC personality Lily Singh is the only woman and only openly LGBTQ person who's currently hosting a late-night broadcast television show, A Little Late with Lily Singh. And in a recent episode, she's fired back at those who say she talks about her bisexuality too much. Her words: "Since I started doing this show, I've had a lot of people online, shockingly, say things like, 'Why does she talk so much about being a bisexual woman of colour?'" Lily said, "First of all, I talk more about my dog and the rock, so get your facts straight, okay? Facts." In the episode's opening monologue, the Indian-Canadian comedian reflected on the highs and lows about being open about her sexuality since she came out as bisexual on Twitter in February 2009, as well as her views on LGBTQ plus solidarity and bisexual visibility, as well as the backlash she's received for often referring to herself as a bi woman of colour. She's voiced a surprise at not losing fans in India, as she'd been warned she might. In her own words, "Turns out in a place with 1.3 billion people, a lot of them don't give an F about who I give an F to." I enjoy it very much, and as someone who also gets told to talk about bisexuality a lot, I enjoy seeing the solidarity there. Now, this next article was an interesting one, and I might be getting our future guests on to come a bit earlier to get their reflections, because yesterday, that is the 27th of January, Slate.com published a new article in their human interest section titled, "I'm a heterosexual woman who's politically opposed to heterosexuality. Who do I date?" And this was she wrote in, and she was answered by Rich Juzwike. The woman had written in under the name of Radical to ask for advice about meeting bi men and bi curious gay men in the hopes of finding men who'd be more sensitive towards women. Her letter read, "I'm a cis woman in kind of a classic millennial sex pickle. I'm really repelled by heterosexuality politically and personally, but I'm also really into dick. I've been thinking maybe I should look for bi dudes, bi curious gay dudes, but I'm not sure how best to do that. Rich, what would you think of a man being on Grindr or Scruff? I do want to be respectful of gay men's spaces and not hone in where I'm not welcome, but I really would love to find a versatile guy with queer politics who would be up for casually dating a woman. What do you think? If you were me, where would you look?" And in his response, Rich quickly laid down some law that he and I would like to see more people follow. If you enter a space that someone who is not a member of the demographic for which that said space was established for, you should behave yourself and don't try to make something that has been designed to not be about you, about you. In his own words, don't make it your private bachelorette party. And I think once he's drawn those boundaries, Rich suggested that queer parties were good to check out, queer sex parties were good, and Google, but definitely not spaces for men like Grindr and Scruff. But he also warned her that there are a lot of shitty bi men who identify as gay and bi, and their queerness doesn't automatically absolve them of misogyny. In fact, the misogyny in some of those dudes is compounded by a perceived lack of use for women. Now, I had some thoughts around this, because we've talked on the show before about unicorn hunting, which is when couples will seek out a bi woman for threesomes, and this still seemed to be someone like seeking out a partner with an idea that everyone on a particular sexuality will be more available or better or just basically homogenous. Josh, president of Melbourne Bisexual Network, friend of mine, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think, is it fetishizing to seek out men based solely on the idea of them being bisexual and that making them in some way removed from the politics of patriarchy?
Yeah, that's really complicated, really interesting letter. And I think this woman who's written in is really actually put words to what I think maybe a number of heterosexual women think about or sort of wanting when they talk to their queer male friend who they see as not a sexual threat, who maybe has more liberal or progressive politics, is maybe a little less misogynist,
a
little bit of thinking about how different people work in the world.
If you put a raw potato in there, it actually absorbs some of the excess misogyny. No, wait, sorry, that's salt and pasta sauce. But it'd be nice if it worked that well.
But, like, I don't know that she hates heterosexuality.
She's repelled by it.
Repelled by it. Like, she's repelled by the standard structures and politics that often go along with assumed heterosexuality, or the default, or the big structures. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a complicated one.
It is, because I know we've seen articles about this too, that often bi plus men can face a lot of stigma and barriers to dating both men, women, and non-binary people. But often with women, there's that sense of them actually being gay or not. And so and the insecurities that come around from there. So a part of me was like, well, it's great that straight women are realizing how great bi plus guys can be. That's awesome.
Yeah, sure.
But also I thought as well, like, even her question made it just like sense of, you know, I'm also really into dick. I'm like, great, that's very fetishizing. If you're already reducing people down into that sense of like, and again, applying this homogenous sense that everyone with this identity is going to be the same, that's just, it's also really, it also would show to me that there just hasn't really been enough exposure to bi plus men representation for them to be able to be conceived as nuanced, which is a bit annoying.
Yeah, right. And like, I don't know, maybe she might also consider trans men.
I was, yeah, or there's that too.
Who might not have been born with a dick.
And also, if it's really dick she wants, you know, you can find, like, you know, it's people who don't have penises can also get them.
Right.
And you can pick the size and everything.
Yeah.
It can have vibrating functions. Just, right. You know, there's a whole lot of
ribs
options
for
out
her
there.
Pleasure.
So yeah, I suppose that was making my getting a few flares up with that. But I guess I'd be curious around if, you know, I'd love to hear from you. How would you feel? You can get in touch with us, listeners, talking to you, by emailing us at onair@joy.org.au or texting on 0427569949. How would you feel if a woman approached you as a bi guy solely because you're bi? Or would that feel good or would it feel bad? Or we'd love to hear from you. I don't want to speak for you. Mm. I'm not a guy. I'm an existential crisis. Sitting in a chair.
You're an experience.
I'm an experience too. Stefani, my favourite. Now, in some other news, there's a whole host of things coming up for the BIPAN community here in Melbourne and Victoria. And Josh, the president of Melbourne Bisexual Network, is here to talk to me about them a bit. So on Sunday, the 2nd of Feb, that's this Sunday if you're listening to us live, is Melbourne's Pride March for Midsummer. And all of you listening are invited to march with the BIPAN community of Victoria. It's early in the morning because it's really hot now on these days, and walking down a St Kilda in 42 degree Celsius heat ain't good for you. But we're in wave F, which means that we'd need to be assembling at around 10 a.m. And so,
yeah, so when you say early in the morning, not that early in the morning.
Speak for yourself. but yeah, if you'd like to find out more on how you can be involved or if you'd like to attend, there's no registration needed, but we'd love to get an idea of numbers and there's no cost. So just, you can shoot an email to melbournebinetwork@gmail.com or byalliance@gmail.com. That's melbournebinetwork, all one word, @gmail.com. Now, the other things we've got coming up is the week after, on Feb 9th, speaking of early mornings, there's a really cute event happening with Climbing Cuties, which is a queer bouldering community group. And they're teaming up with Melbourne Bisexual Network for a very cute morning of bouldering, chatting, snacking and badge making. They say all are welcome, from total novices to the exceedingly excellent at climbing, to those who have no desire to leave the ground at all. And you can find out more about that at www.climbingcuties.com. That's climbingcuties.com. And it is quite early in the morning, that one. Or you can find them on Instagram at climbingcuties. Again, QTS. So do you think that what might get bi plus people engaged in something like climbing, bouldering?
Yeah, well, boulder is particularly interesting because it's a lot about climbing sideways.
Perfect.
Rather than climbing up. And I feel like, you know, we're all, you got to sometimes take a circuitous path to go bouldering sideways. It's not just straight up and down.
Can we do the new quiz? Like, do you wink, wink, climb sideways?
You're more of a boulderer more of a...
All right. We'll be right back after this. Now, this song coming up is by Dorian Electra. It's called Adam and Steve. And Josh, you picked this one. Is that right?
Mm.
What made you choose this song, other than me saying, please choose a song right now?
I love Dorian Electra. They're incredible, non-binary. I'm not sure about their sexuality, but they're coming to Melbourne and I'm going to see them at their first show. I think there's still tickets to their second show. Definitely go see them if you possibly can.
Excellent. Well, this is... I'll be right back after that to talk about some free training coming up. And now, LARPing! Yes! I think that was as close to a battle cry as I can get tonight. But anyway, enjoy Dorian Electra with Adam and Steve on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
In the beginning, it was the word, nothing but darkness, God made the world. In the beginning, there were just two, made from the dust.
smiling their children without a care. And in the garden, up on the tree, we saw the fruit for you and me. And in the garden, they took a bite, ashamed of the truth, ashamed of the light, cast into darkness, they would be damned for being a man.
Former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right, you're back. It's Triple Bypass. And we are here to put the B in LGBTIQA+, plus a peef pansexual and another peef polysexual and cues for queers and questionings and everyone else. That's two E's. Everyone else. My name's Ruby. And tonight, I'm going to go LARPing with Rem. I'm also going to be talking about Pride March stuff with Josh. And also, Josh is also here because we're both massive nerds and yet have not LARPed.
Yeah, have not LARPed technically. I've done a lot of LARP adjacent
technically,
activities.
Technically, LARP adjacent. Now, LARPing. What is it? Who does it? Do you need to have your own sword? I have no idea, but luckily I'm joined by someone who knows their pauldrons from their greaves, and I had to ask what those words actually meant. But anyway, I'm here with Rem, who's a bisexual, non-binary seamstress and gardener who's been LARPing for 3 years since they moved to Melbourne and before moving here 3 years ago after growing up in Queensland. Now, as well as having a general interest in seamstressing, is that the correct... Is that a verb?
It's the one I've been using.
Excellent. So can I ask, so firstly, Rem, please help me. What's LARPing?
LARPing, in its technical definition, is live action role play, which is, for me,
that could mean so many, many things. Swordcrafting?
Oh, so many things. Swordcraft is a type of LARPing, or a brand, if you will, I suppose. It's the LARP that we do here in Melbourne, in Brunswick. There's also one in Ballarat, Bendigo, and now Brisbane.
Now Brisbane.
Yeah,
there wasn't launched. When you were growing up.
No, that wasn't. It was a Warsong and another one that I can't remember the name of, but Warsong I think now has stopped and they've joined the Swordcraft family as the chapter of, I think it's called Hellsreich? I'm not sure.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack in that.
There is.
So firstly, swords.
Swords.
Now, that sounds great. Is that what drew you into it? Because I grew up really enjoying women who... threw swords around. At first I thought I wanted to be one, and then I realised it
too.
Was maybe a bit more complicated than that.
Women and swords is definitely a big plus of Swordcraft.
It's a
absolutely.
Big mood.
It is a big, big mood, oh my God.
So is that what drew you into LARPing? Or so what kind of led you to it? I think that I remember when I was growing up, and like video games are nerdy, D&D was super nerdy, and LARPing was like the extreme off the deep end of the pool. we're not like who even does that kind of an idea, but as someone who plays a lot of Dungeons & Dragons, it also just seems like, oh, cool, they're just like are going even more extra. That sounds amazing. Is it as immersive? Do you get to roll stats? Are there characters? Do you have backstories? But also, what drew you to it?
Well, what really drew me to it was essentially the costuming. And as I've been a seamstress for coming on 6 or 7 years now, seeing all these people in these beautiful medieval outfits made me want to make so many things. And I think that's probably one of the things that drew me to it originally, but it was definitely in some small part the fact that I got to hit people with swords.
So it's sword fighting then. It's kind of like, do you talk as well, or is it mostly just hiya and then smashing?
In some ways, there's for swordcraft especially, we have a thing. It used to be twice a year, it's only once a year, called Quest, which is where we go and we camp for an entire week and we're always in character and everything's immersive, mostly. You can't really do anything about Portaloos these days. But everything is immersive and you get to role play as your character with other people, and there are fights and there are political squabbles and money changes hands, and it's very, very, very fun. It's one of my favourite things about doing Soulcraft.
Well, I was going to ask what you do enjoy about it. Is it the immersion? Because, you know, in medieval times we don't see a lot of expressions of non-binary and queer folks who were not getting burnt or being chased out of places or being seen as demons. So does it give room for that kind of self-expression in that space?
There's a lot you can do with your character because it is essentially your creation, something you get to shape however you feel. And a lot of the time going into it, creating a new character, I always used to come up with a name and a last name first and think about, well, where did they come from or what gender are they and stuff like that. And as I'm also non-binary, I got the choice of going, oh, could I be male or could I be female? Could I be something in between? I don't know until I start playing. I did get the chance to actually play one of each when I first started, and it's probably one of the hardest things I think I've ever done in acting terms is trying to differentiate between them because they were supposed to be twins.
So you're playing a woman and a man who are twins.
Yeah.
So you're like parent trapping yourself.
Yeah, essentially. Absolutely. And it was only really present at Quest when I could be one for the day or be the other when needed, and people knew the difference between them because I would dress differently. My hair was different. I'd wear a wig or I'd wear makeup or something similar. And they'd one of them was a gunner. She had a big rifle or guns. And the other one was a mage and a healer. So I got to differentiate between them via what they used and how they looked. And most people caught up with me eventually.
And you're also turning, I guess, some gender expectations around that, because healing is definitely, I think, historically been seen as that's what the girl characters do.
Absolutely.
And so having them, and also the woman's going to hold the big heavy gun, She just wants to be able to have like a nice long shaft on her in case she needs to use it.
Exactly.
It makes total sense
for me. Like, the ones around her are pretty useless. She's got to make do with what she's got.
But again, I'm guessing a gun, it means that there'd be a difference in weaponry as well, because
there definitely is.
So it's complicated.
So many things.
LARPing
you can
is complicated.
Use. LARPing is so complicated, oh my God. I've been doing it for 3 years and we're only starting now to get into all of the political stuff, and it's so interesting but also so, so complicated at the same time. But the weapons that you can use are as widely varied as the costumes that you can make. Like, for example, the gun I still have, which is a rifle that's about 1.5 meters, I think. And it's probably my most favourite piece of LARP kit that I own.
So that's like all the stuff you get ready for your costumes and
your different
characters?
Yeah, yeah. So when I've got all of my costumes, I wear armour specifically so that I can still shoot properly without it and so forth.
Is the armor bulletproof though?
Yes and no. Depends what kind of bullets we're using.
I was really curious to ask about the different kinds of themes of LARPs. So you've mentioned like sort of medieval. What other things can you do?
Well, especially in Australia, there's a couple of things you can do. In Melbourne, we recently had one that was Hobbit-themed, which I didn't get to attend, but it looked very, very fun. There's also something called a parlor LARP, which is something that doesn't have any battles or sword fighting per se, but is more of a battle of your wits and role-play skills. So it's very fun.
Mm. I've also heard about Vampire the Masquerade.
Yes.
Playing vampires at night and stuff. It's super cool.
A couple of my friends were so into that. I never got to go, though.
Now, I know that's a tabletop game, and I do think being into vampires at some point is a huge buy thing.
Absolutely.
We were talking about this before. Absolutely no shame. It is how it is. Haven't watched Moffat's Dracula yet because I don't like the fact that he called him bi-homicidal or something. So, like, great, we need another bisexual serial killer. Perfect. Stack him up there, Moffat. That's doing great.
What does that even mean?
Like, just means that Moffat's a tool. My personal thoughts are in no way indicative of anyone else in here's thoughts around that.
No, of course not.
So I think, playing these kind of make-believe sense, what do you get out of it that makes you want to recommend the people try it out?
I suppose it's some kind of sense of getting to escape and things like that. That's the same reason you'd read a book or watch a movie or something like that. You get to immerse yourself in something different for a night or a week, rather, and just kind of have fun with it.
And is it like a strong community? You were mentioning these people who've been doing it for a while and get involved with these politics and these different houses, and I couldn't follow. And there was swords mentioned, then I something like Valkyries, but not quite. So is it a way when you first moved here that you could meet people and kind of get that kind of community around you?
Yeah, definitely. Well, when I first moved down, it was because of a friend who did LARPing, and he also was into cosplay. He's not my friend anymore, unfortunately, but it's...
The LARPing
what
lives
got me
on.
Into it. Yeah, the LARPing lives on, exactly. What got me into it, especially the costumes, but it was there are factions and there are war bands and things like that. Like, for example, I'm the leader of one such war band, and we are Russian-themed, which is very, very fun, doing all the accents and wearing all the fur and all of the fun things. But there's many, many different themes for us, mostly in the world of Warhammer, which is where we set our story kind of thing.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you more about that right after these community messages. And also we'll be playing Here's So Below by Visions, which was Rem's choice. So stay tuned for that. You'll listen to the show that's here to put the B in LGBTIQA+. It's Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Time, we'll take it over. Okay.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and that was Visions by So Below.
Yes,
I got it right that time. I got the names round the wrong way before. My name's Ruby, and you're listening to Triple Bypass, where the bisexuals completely take over and dominate the airwaves with consent. this episode and every episode of Triple Bypass will be available as a podcast. We also are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podbean, and wherever you find good podcasts. You'll also be able to find some podcast exclusives we have there, including interviews with Mara Wilson, Beck Sandridge, and the Bi Polycast, which is all about polyamory and different love styles and balancing that with being bisexual, and it's with Anthony, and it's wonderful. Now, and as always, you can get in touch with us about any questions you've got tonight, whether it's about how you can go to a Pride March or why you might not want to, or how to move through the feelings you have around not wanting to go. Also, LARPing, live action role play, how to get involved, why it's so great, more stuff about swords. We'd love to hear from you. So email us at onair@joy.org.au or text on 0427 569 949. I'm joined by Rem, who is, as well as being an expert seamstress and gardener, has been LARPing for 3 years, and as always is very bisexual.
Very bisexual.
To the point of them marching in pride, but in armour. We can talk about that soon because I'm really excited about it. We're also joined by president of Melbourne Bisexual Network and reoccurring guest and favourite of the show, it's Josh.
Hi. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. Josh has been chatting with me about some stuff that's coming up with Melbourne Bisexual Network, so keep in mind for that now. We've been talking a bit before about, with Rem, about what LARPing is, the actual details of how it works, and how what drew them into it, and why they enjoy it. Now, and also how to self-express as a queer person in a medieval time that didn't always really have a lot of openly queer folk. At least that's what the history books tell us. And is history books ever wrong?
Yes.
Yes.
All the time.
Forever. Always. Definitely. Yeah. That was it was a test.
What
it
even is time. History?
It's every time someone gets footnoted in an essay. Now, Rem, so what might queer folk get out of LARPing? We've been talking about how it's a lot of fun to be able to create your characters and express yourselves in different ways, and how you've played twins, both a boy and a girl, which meant like a man and a woman, so you got to figure out some different ways of expressing through that. But in general, what would queer folk, what might they be able to explore and get out of this kind of activity?
I think, honestly, it's about a sense of community as it is with a lot of things. And I know for myself, coming into LARPing, I found a lot more people who were just like me, and I have clutched those people very close to my chest. I can tell you that, many of which I have conscripted into my warband to serve me.
Excellent. And by much like me, do you mean like a lot of other bisexuals?
Definitely. one of my favorite people in my warband as well. They are non-binary and bisexual, and they are my second in command, and I would be absolutely lost without them.
So what is it that you think draws some queer folk into things like LARPing?
Probably the creativity that they can kind of just take a hold of and do with whatever they wish. Like, I know some great people who do like magic things and stuff like that, and they are queer and or bisexual or non-binary or anything under the umbrella, honestly, and they do a lot of them are great costumers, some of them are amazing role players, and whether or not they bring that their sexualities and so forth into it or not, sometimes you don't, sometimes you do, but at the same time, I like to think that that bravery is something that they bring into their role play and makes them such good role players.
And so, now, what can people expect the first time they show up? How can they show up for a LARP? And do they need to have the full costume and kit from the get-go? Like, that sounds like a lot. It could be really intimidating for some people. So, how can people start to get involved and explore this hobby?
Well, with Sawcraft, it's actually really, really easy. When you're on your first night, you come in, you get given a shield that is twice the size of the ones that we're actually allowed to use, and a sword. And you can basically turn up in whatever you think is the most comfortable to run around in, and your first night's free.
Oh, and so the first night, what will people expect to actually do, though?
So you start off playing, doing the first couple rounds, learning about all of the rules and
rounds?
Everything. Yeah,
so battles?
Battles, rather, yeah.
So you get to run down screaming with a sword?
You can.
Are there hills? Are there rolling hills?
Unfortunately not. at Friday nights. It's just an oval.
So you can run across an oval with a sword. Yes. This is still good. This is still good. I can work with this.
There's still swords involved. It's
Ruby,
still all good.
Use your imagination, right? Like, you imagine the lightning above you, the power metal behind
you. The tiger
you.
I'm riding.
Yeah. The blue cones are water, I promise.
And so we've talked on the show before about how RPGs and tabletop games like Dungeons & Dragons can let people explore their gender and their sexuality. Do you think it's had a similar exploration can be done through LARPing?
Absolutely. And in LARPing, it's even more like physical than it is on in Dungeons & Dragons and so forth. It's like you get to come in and you play a character, and that character can be whatever you want it to be. They can be female, male, anything in between. You can basically take whatever creative freedom you want and put it into your character and become that character.
Has it been helpful for you in understanding and being able to express parts of your identity?
Absolutely. When I first started, I was so unsure of myself as a non-binary person. I didn't know how I was supposed to represent people like myself, and I basically came in and I played the twins, I've played female characters, I've played male characters, and at the moment I feel like I'm in a really comfortable space for me, which is a very powerful woman.
Heck yes.
Heck yes.
I love that.
Something that I'm really kind of curious about, or sort of hypothesizing just as I'm thinking it out. So I'm a psychologist, by the way.
We've got to talk about Pride Month.
Yeah, I know. But I was thinking about like LARPing, especially for queer people. A, it's physical. How often do we struggle to get queer people involved in sports and physical activities? B, it involves like theater and improvisation and like actually socially talking to each other, which, how often do we end up only meeting each other either on dance floors, online, or like in sort of cerebral contexts? Like, it's amazing. And also like learning really practical skills like dressmaking or smithing or jewelry
making
or improv. These are all really practical, wonderful skills that us LGBTQIA plus people can bring out into the rest of the world.
And I think a community that's built around play and built around an enjoyment of that kind of exploration is like, obviously no community is perfect, but it's a good way to be able to find people who you can share things with, and then within that. So it sounds like LARPing as a community in general, like, or at least the ones you're a part of, are very, very friendly for LGBTIQA plus people.
Yeah.
And I imagine that might be a consideration people might have. Have you found that that's been your experience in different spaces where you've seen this, like where you've seen LARPing communities?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's something that with Sawcraft especially, there's so many different things that you can get into with it. Like you said before, smithing. Like, I know a bunch of people who have gotten into making armor, which is amazing to see. People that come in and they make weapons, they make the swords, they make pikes.
And they're queer friendly.
Yeah, heaps
mostly,
of them.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, and there's almost a Facebook group for anything you can think of for Sawcraft, and you can get into with people that do the same thing or that you want to learn something from, things like that. And usually you can find someone that's happy to teach you no matter what.
So like a master apprentice kind of deal?
Yeah.
Excellent. So if people wanted to find out where there might be a LARP group near them, is Sawcraft, like, that's a big organization that, or like big, I'm not sure, what is it?
Sawcraft is, it's an organization, I suppose I'd say. It's kind of just the biggest LARP down here in Melbourne, especially probably the biggest LARP in Australia as it is. For example, most nights we get up to 200, maybe 400 people on a really good night. Quest can get up to 700 to 800 people. There are other ones, of course, in Australia that you can go to, especially in Melbourne now. We've got Exodus, which is another one. Different kind of rules, but similar kind of feel.
So just Googling LARP in and then your area would show these places up. Is it mostly done through Facebook or through websites?
There's a lot on Facebook that you can find. Like, for example, Sawcraft has its page. Mm. They've got the group for Sawcraft. Then there's the unofficial community. There's even a memes page.
Amazing.
They get very spicy, I can tell you that.
We'll be right back after this quick community message. Don't go away. It's Triple Bypass on Joy. LARPers are becoming an increasingly active community, but also one that's really quite queer-friendly, so much and so that from what I'm hearing from Rem, our guest, LARPers are turning up
at Pride marches.
Yes, they are, Ruby.
And so can you tell us what you're doing on February the 2nd for Midsummer Pride March?
I absolutely can, and I am so excited about it, I'll tell you that. What we are doing is something I'm sure you guys have seen on Facebook and online and on Tumblr and everywhere that it could possibly spread to, and they're called the Pride Nights, and that's Nights with a K, as I had to say to Josh earlier.
The kind
with swords and lances. So what we're going to end up doing is we'll have all of us sword crafters that are attending, we're going to be split into groups of colours of the rainbow. So I'll be going as a yellow knight with my beautiful yellow medieval outfit and my armour on, and I'll probably have a sword or something similar. And there'll be, I think, there's at least 10 of us, maybe 15 of us, that are doing other colours, as well as rainbow flags and ace flags and trans flags. It's very, very exciting.
So obviously, if there are enough queer folks in Soulcraft to make up a big group at Pride March, there are a lot of queer folk who are into this for reasons that Josh was listening before, and if you missed that, don't worry, I'll be on the podcast, which you can find on Spotify. Now, Josh, so we're also marching at Pride March this year with the Bi group again.
Correct.
Now, as someone, this will be my third Pride March, and for a long time, I would never even have considered going to one. As a bisexual person who had not really been in any relationships that I felt were queer enough to let me be into those spaces.
Yeah.
And I know that that's something that we're trying to help people move past. So people who might be feeling wanting to get involved with marching with bi plus people, why should they? And what are some ways people can navigate the senses of anxiety and imposter syndrome that can come up when it comes to attending these kind of big queer events?
Look, Ruby, bisexuality is a rising tide, so yes. I recommend people get on the wave. now is a good time, surf it all the way down.
Hang 10, is that a thing people still say? I don't
surf. Hang 10, definitely. In the past, bisexuals have sometimes not felt particularly welcome at Pride, but it's absolutely our space to be there. Come alone, come with a friend, come with a partner of any gender. You're all extremely welcome. There's no need to register, like, especially. So if you leave it till the last minute and only decide at the last moment, yes, I really, really want to come, please come.
Yeah.
If you want to come and just, like, be part of the audience along the side of the road and wave at us, we'll scream happy joy, like, say hi to you, take photos. Awesome.
I will wave my sword if you wave at me.
Yeah.
I promise.
We at the Bi Plus community have made a whole bunch of signs that we're going to be giving out to people to be able to carry.
I could use so much holographic paper.
Yeah. we'll be, obviously the best dressed in the program.
Of course.
wonderful colours, big flags.
That's a bold thing to say next to the person who's like, I'm going to be wearing a suit of armour.
So shiny and new.
I've got a special outfit that I haven't told anyone about yet. Okay. And you're just going to have to see it on the day.
And see that. And if you want to find out how whereabouts it is around Melbourne, you can check out Midsummer, Midsummer website. You can also, we're in Wave F,
yep.
I think. And so you can meet us. There's a big meeting place that's all indicated on the website for Midsummer. And so you can find information there. And if you would like someone to email you the details or just to confirm that you'd like to come and maybe you want to meet someone there, if you're feeling a bit insecure or want to give someone your number so you can give them a text or something, just shoot an email to Melbourne by Network. That's all one word, melbourneby.network@gmail.com. And we'll make sure that you have all the information you need to come along. It's pretty wonderful, I'll say that. There's something, a lot of the time it feels like our communities are really defined by our struggles and by our strife and by our pain. And so I think taking these times where we are really talking, like celebrating our resilience and our community and our connection for each other and how far we've been able to come and the fact that there are so many of us who are so visible and who are really able to be public and loud and proud in ways that have been really hard fought for is a really beautiful thing, and it can definitely put some gas back in the engine because it's been a pretty rough New Year's here in Australia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a lot going on.
Yeah, and it's a good time to come together and can feel bloody powerful walking down the middle of a street. when
normal... I prance personally, but that's just a personal preference.
I'm excited to strut, to be honest.
Skip, yes. Leap, hop,
catwalk.
Skip and jump.
If you want to duck walk, you can, but your legs will get sore.
it's a long straight.
and what else? I know that Bi Plus Community of Melbourne, Melbourne Bisexual Network, sorry, has also organised for some other activities. As well as we're talking as well about getting queer folks into more exercise. Now, there is a on Saturday, the 9th of February, you can join Climbing Cuties, who are organising a special Bi Plus bouldering morning. Yep. I say morning because it starts at 8 a.m. I'll still be there, though, so you can come say hi. And so will you. Is that right, Josh?
That's the plan.
I think I can. I'm hoping I can.
For some sideways climbing.
Sideways climbing. Always, all the way. Now, it's welcome for all levels. So if you're totally new to the sport, if you're extremely excellent at it, and if you actually just want to go there and don't want to climb things at all, like me, you can just go and watch everyone else and sip tea. You can find out information about that, which is coming up at... www.climbingqts.com, and that's climbing QTs, that's QTS.com, or find out more on their Insta at climbing QTS. Now, we've also got some free training coming up. This is very exciting.
This is like a groundbreaking, pioneering bit of training that we're releasing.
Yes.
Melbourne Bisexual Network managed to secure a government grant for capacity building
from the Victorian Department of Premier and Cabinet.
Right, and that means that we're able to put money directly back into community to capacity build. Now, that's kind of government jargon speak for just, like, upskilling everyone. And if you ever wanted something on your resume that says expertise in governance or leadership or communication skills... People management, volunteer management, leadership...
Finance and planning... You get certificates.
Legit, please come to these trainings. You're extremely welcome.
And they're all free.
They are paid for by the government.
That's right.
Which is one of the few times that the government has directly funded bisexual well-being and things through this kind of a thing. So
it's really exciting.
We're keen to have lots and lots and lots of people. Please recommend it, especially to young queer people who are interested in building out their skill set and you know, perhaps joining the workforce. It'll be the kinds of skills that will allow you to feel comfortable, ready, willing, and able to join committees or join associations or be on boards.
A lot of places where you don't actually see a lot of bi plus people. And one of the things that, you know, we've got a very low rate of coming out in the workplace, and the lack of role models has often been seen as part of this. And I feel like this kind of training, which is done by our community, which is an organization that does a lot of training and capacity building for grassroots networks. And it's really... it's really about trying to help people build confidence as well as anything else.
Yeah.
And to give us those set skills that if you're wanting to set up your own small business or grassroots organization, or if you just want to learn more about them so you can participate, then this is a great way to do it. And they're on in February and March. You can find out more information again by shooting us an email at melbournebinetwork@gmail.com. Or you might be able to find the event if you're in the Bi Plus Community of Melbourne Facebook page. There's a few things up there too. Or you can email us at triplebypass@joy.org.au and we'll send you the details, because it's totally free, and we'd really love for as many of the bi, pan, queer, multi-gender attracted communities to join us for these three sessions, whichever ones you want. It'll be great. It'll be so wonderful and surprisingly interesting. I was always terrified of the idea of governance because I have attention problems, and so the idea of having to go through a whole lot of rules seemed really boring. But it's so interesting how having that stuff there just helps you understand the framework of which you're operating in, and it helps us understand the jargon that can be so off-putting when we first get started.
Right. We're trying to make them as accessible as possible. We're running them on a mixture of Saturdays and Sundays, so for people who have religious observance, hopefully they should be able to make it along to at least one of the trainings. But can I tell you a little story, Ruby?
Yes, Josh.
I remember when we had that first meeting of the Melbourne Bisexual Network, and there was a whole lot of really keen bisexuals in the room, but not necessarily a whole lot of experience being on committees. And so
it was my first.
We had so much enthusiasm and, oh gosh, I had no idea how to run the finances of the group.
I didn't know what writing an agenda meant.
I had never incorporated an association before.
How do you take minutes?
And by heck, we learned.
Oh, boy, did we.
But we learned through trial by fire and a lot of guesswork and trial and error, which I wish I had have had this capacity training before I started doing all of it.
That's why we made it.
Right.
That's why we made it.
Yes,
I wish I had. And I think as well, like, it's very, like, if you've been wondering about getting more involved with community, you know, a lot of community organizations do have governance structures and boards and committees that you can get involved with. And this will give you, I think, more confidence in reaching out and saying, hey, I'd like to be involved in this committee or that. I've had some training in this. I can be useful. And then you can add your bi/pan/polysexual/queer voice in there, and the infiltration will continue.
Right.
The agenda.
The rising tide.
So we'll be right back after. Speaking of rising tides, we've now got, I'm not sure, that's not a segue. That doesn't work at all. Anyway, this song is, it is a song that's called Moon, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The song is called Moonlight Run, and it's by Boo Seeker. And this is Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to say goodbye after this.
So late, I'm about to find out which way you're here. Spin me around one more time. Spin me around one more time. Moonlight run, come ride with me. Where do we go? And find me others that feel so right. You're next to me. One way roads where we discover.
And it is almost over for another episode of Triple Bypass with me, Ruby.
the home of the bisexual agenda. No, that's the show. I don't say it's me. I want to thank Josh so much for coming on to talk to us about all these incredible things happening with bis at Pride, but also some free training coming up, which you can find out more about at melbournebinetwork.com, or you can email melbournebinetwork@gmail.com.
Yes, please email us.
And Rem has been telling us all about LARPing and how it's hella queer and how they're actually going to be at Pride March as well. So if you would check out, if you come into Pride March and you see the yellow group in the sword...
In the Swordcraft group.
That's our person, Rem.
We are Wave H, as far as I know.
We're going to go say hi at the lawn. We get ready for Pride March. Hopefully we'll see you there. That's it for another episode of Triple Bypass. We'll be back again next Tuesday to bring you more of the Bypass agenda. And you can find every episode ever as a podcast at joy.org.au/Triple Bypass on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Podbean, or wherever else. And if you have a friend who'd enjoy it, let them know about us. That's what community is all about. Find us on Facebook, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy. Email us at any time at triplebypass@joy.org.au. I'm Ruby. Thank you so much. Coming up next is... a pre-recorded show, so enjoy it.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.